316 says I just whipped your ass.
Hulkamania is over.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
I'm Johnny B. Van, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling.
When I first came to the WWE, women's wrestling was a joke. And I proceeded to single-handedly change everything.
At SummerSlam, I will be there for one reason, and one reason only. To see that justice is served.
Quit laughing at me, King.
I would never do anything of the sort.
Oh, horse shit. But anyway, welcome to Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast. I'm JD, and you've heard King over there. Yes, I called you King because why not? There's Dom. I'm going to start calling you King.
He's not Dom anymore. He's Dirty Dom.
I don't think I want to call you the Dirty King. So okay, we have the Dirty King over there. That sounds like something that happens in WWF.
That's a finishing move.
Did I say who we were yet already? You threw me off. Yes, Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast. The Rabbis to the Barris is absent. This week, I think he went to some concert.
I have no idea.
Was it a rabbi council or something? A rabbi council concert?
Knowing him, it was both at the same time.
Right. So, Logan, I hope you enjoyed last week. We played, or I should say our last episode, we did a little Ring the Bell Radio replay. We played one of our past episodes, and it was with one of your favorite women wrestlers, Vicious Vicky.
Oh.
So it was kind of a little bit of a replay, because that was been a couple years since she's been on.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, why not? You know, let's throw this on again. The people didn't have a chance to go back and listen to it. They listened to it again. So you see that every once in a while. We'll play like a little replay episode or something like that. But Money in the Bank, huh? Oh, wait a minute. Before you get into that, because I know you're going to give us a little overview of that. I did not get to see it because wife and I were binge watching season 5 of Yellowstone last night or yesterday all day. So.
See, just like how undedicated you are. Like, you know, I'm there on the cutting edge getting the wrestling information that our fans demand. And you're sitting there watching Yellowstone. Like,
you know why?
Because the wife told you to.
Because I'm the boss and I didn't feel like watching wrestling. Yes.
Which, yeah, the wife told me to.
No, but in that defense, I really did want to catch up on that season. I actually really did. So there was no complaining on my end, you know. I actually did want to see what happened, but before we do that, we got some fan mail, Logan.
Yes. Give it to me hot and quick.
Geez, this isn't the WWWX or no WWX.
That's our rival promotion. The WWWX. Don't bring them up. Don't promote them.
So the triple WX.
Don't promote it. Like beep it out. You can't be. Yeah.
Okay. So we got some fan mail here I didn't even tell you about, and I was hoping the Rabbis would be on to hear this. So please, I don't want to.
Is it? Please tell me it's Rabbis hate mail.
No, I don't even think it's really Rabbis hate mail. It's
because they're some of the best.
They are some of the best. It's not hate mail. It's from an anonymous fan, though.
Okay. All right.
I really wanted to read this with him on here, but I'm just going to tell you, and then we could just make fun of Barris. Okay. And then when he's back on next show, we'll read it to him again.
All right. All sounds right. like a plan.
Okay. So here we go. Hello, ring the bell. I have some concerns over Barris having your credit card. A while ago, I followed Barris on Instagram.
What?
Yes, this fan followed Barris.
No one follows Barris on Instagram. He's already turning stalkery.
Well, okay, it gets better. Now that I have done that, my Explore page is all models showing their feet with links to their OnlyFans or Spicy pages.
Ooh.
When I investigate why I am seeing this, since I don't follow anything like that, it always says followed by Barris or liked by Barris.
Okay. Well, in Barris's defense, he said he's a foot guy before. And I mean, look, his top women that he loves, Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley, but only when she's in goth mode. So, I mean, he's a strange one, okay? Okay.
But what I think he's saying is all he did was follow Barris on Instagram, and now he's seeing all of this questionable content that he's never came up in his feed before, just because he liked Barris. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm going to continue here. Is he paying for a lot of these pages? And if so, you better make sure it isn't with your credit card. If my wife looked at my Instagram, I think I would get in trouble. I would hate for your wives to ask to see the credit card statement and there be only fan pages on it. You better investigate as well, you know, just to be sure. Thanks, an anonymous fan.
Well, thank you. I guess it's very nice of you to be so caring to get in contact with us and let us know about it.
So I think this guy's he's sort of angry because all he did was follow Barris, and now all this precarious things are showing up on his new feed.
You know what the funny thing is, though, about this is I don't follow people on Instagram or any. I don't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
My wife does, and I know for a fact my wife follows Barris.
Uh oh. Wait a minute. Your wife follows the Rabbis.
Yeah, she does. She follows the Rabbis, and she follows the show, and yeah. I think she follows you. I don't know why, but you know, there
yeah,
you go.
Well.
But yeah, she's been on Rabbis's. She's followed him for years. So she probably knows about all this stuff and says, oh, it's probably Barris. Don't worry about it. Just move on with your life.
Yeah, right. Huh? So we're going to have, you know what, just for fun, next episode when he's back, let's read that to him and say nothing and just see what he says.
Yes.
Okay. And just say nothing. Yeah. But we got another piece of fan mail, which is to all of us, and it's from our friend Rocky.
Yay, Rocky.
Remember a couple of episodes ago, and I think we turned it into one of our mini-sodes about how we didn't like we're tired of Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he let us know. He listened to the show, and he sent us a message. This version of Ronda Rousey is way better than the last one last fall before reuniting with Shayna. But they buried the NXT tag team. They left NXT looking great and destroying the tag team that Ronda and Shayna faced in Raw, parentheses, with the Ninja Warrior lady. They should have had a match end in a DQ or count out so they couldn't unify the belts.
I agree, and I literally said the exact same thing. I think maybe you were around my house and we were watching it on Raw or SmackDown or something. Yeah. It was either that or I was watching it with my wife. But when that happened, I literally said, you just made NXT look like it is a developmental instead of being a third brand.
That's what it is now anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you just made these people that are meant to be the peak pinnacle of NXT get basically murdered in the ring and lose their titles. Like it
You know,
yeah, I thought it was a bad, it should have ended by DQ. I agree 100%, or something stupid like a count out, anything that would have, you know, not unified them like that. And then secondly, doesn't make the NXT people look weak, you know?
You know, NXT, now you remember the original NXT concept, right?
Yeah.
Years ago, it's nothing what it was, the original concept. Remember, it was you have a rookie and then they have the veteran with them, and it was what, 12 rookies or something like that?
It was basically an updated Tough Enough.
Yeah. So they had to go through. But anyway, what NXT became, and even when it was NXT 2.0, and up until very recently, NXT is the only one that felt like and identified, and they were their own brand. And you know why? Because they were completely cut off from the rest of the brands, from Raw and SmackDown. You never saw an NXT person or vice versa on either a Raw or SmackDown person on NXT. They were literally their own world. That's what it was. And that's why it was working so much. Okay. Every once in a while, you would have a Raw or SmackDown guy show up on NXT. That was like a big deal, you know, but they didn't downplay it. They didn't go, oh, well, when you get up to where the big dogs play, it was seen as equal. You get what I'm saying? But now, since they're starting to dilute and integrate the NXT people more and do a lot of more crossovers, it just feels like the same old bullshit, like what Raw and SmackDown does. It's just a name now. It's not its own flavor, its own entity. At least that's what I think. You know, but they're dirty in the water, so to speak, with them doing all this.
I have to agree to a degree as well. Yeah. I mean, NXT works when you have like a Forbidden Door kind of situation.
It's its own thing.
Once every 6 months, someone shows up on the brand from Raw or from SmackDown, and it's meant to be a big thing.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, just look at, because Vince McMahon is notorious for treating NXT people like crap. I mean, look at Apollo Crews, fantastic wrestler, okay? A hard, hard worker, okay? He was basically a jobber when he got to Raw his first time through, or SmackDown, I think he was. But anyway, he was treated like a jobber. He went back down to NXT, you know, came back up, and, you know, he was a lot better for it. But, I mean, why would you want to put yourself in a position where you are at the top of your division, but you go to this other brand and you get the floor wiped with you? You know, it's like I always say this back to Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston a couple of years ago. Brock Lesnar destroys Kingston in like 7 seconds or something stupid like that. Kofi Kingston is a great wrestler. Kofi Kingston is a world heavyweight champion, and you just made him look like garbage.
Yep.
You know, you just destroyed legacy. You know, it's sucky when you treat wrestlers like that, but it seems that Vince McMahon has an entire brand to do that with now, and it sucks. And don't get me wrong, not every call up ends in disaster. Finn Balor, you know, is great on his second run. Hell, Charlotte Flair, the Four Horsewomen, their call ups, you know, it's what started the women's revolution, basically. I mean, it's there have been some great call ups sometimes, but most of the time, these people are dragged into a situation where you're totally changing their character, you're totally changing their name sometimes. And you're throwing them to the wolves in an already overstacked and overcrowded card.
That's funny because I was just reading, I just had an article here in front of me. It said WWE and NXT have had a rocky relationship in the past. Despite NXT being a brand and running within the same promotion, there's often been a perception that NXT was the neglected stepchild of the company. In fact, many fans would fear wrestlers being called up to the main roster, and I always hated that they did that. They would say, you're getting called up to the main roster, believing their favorites would be buried. And that's to a T what you just said.
Yep.
And this was off of Sportskeeda. It's a wrestling, like pro wrestling sports or something, you know, articles.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there have been more bad call-ups than there have been good ones. And it makes NXT look like a crappy underbrand. I mean, when it was developmental, yeah, developmental. You meant to develop there and then move up to the big time. But it's not that anymore. It's its own brand. No matter how you want to really think about it, it has its own culture. It has its own heroes and villains, its own separate storylines, and it has success on its own. And I mean, not to mention the fact that, you know, it goes head to head with AEW Dynamite. You know, that's a lot of pulling power. So, you know, to make them look crap, I mean, I really have turned around on NXT in the last couple of years. I really have, because I always viewed it as, whatever, I don't have time for a third brand. I've already got to deal with Raw and SmackDown. You know, I don't want another 2 hours worth of what was considered garbage wrestling because it was below Raw and SmackDown. Why would I want to waste my time?
Yeah.
You know, that's how I viewed it. It wasn't until that I saw some of these great people get moved up to the main card and really impress me. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. Even though they got rid of the black heart thing, Shotzi's a great wrestler. You know, they just don't do anything properly with her.
They don't.
Pisses me off, but you know what can you say? But I mean, it's really changed my mind on, you know, how I view NXT. Now, am I gonna sit there and watch it every week? No, I'm
yeah,
not.
I
don't have time. Like two extra, that's literally like 9 hours of wrestling a week. Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. All what right? You could start watching instead of NXT. No. Okay, so forfeit like SmackDown, and instead of watching SmackDown on Fridays, start with like episode one of Monday Nitro.
I can't.
And then you could do that for you have 3 years worth of watch, or or 4 years of Nitro.
I don't mind watching WCW main events, but I remember some Nitros, and my God, were they fucking bad. It's the same reason why I don't watch Raw from like 2007 all the way to like 2015.
They got bad.
Yeah. It's just, there's no point.
There were some Nitros that were okay though. I will.
Yeah. But
I've gone back and watched a bunch of them, and it's more of nostalgia now, but I watch them and I go, 25 years ago, I remember watching this Nitro, and there'll be a couple of them where literally I'll be like, I remember watching this Nitro. It sucked in 1997, and 2023, it still sucks. You know?
So, I mean, to answer your question straight up, I agree with practically everything Rocky said, 100%.
That was a long prelude to get to that answer.
I know, but I thought people deserved an explanation, about where I was coming. Because I know in previous shows, I'm like, yeah, NXT, whatever. I want to let people know that, you know, I have a deeper appreciation for it. It's some good shit going on there. And, I mean, my favorite tag so far, Pretty Deadly, came from there, and I'm obsessed with this tag team. They are so funny. They are the comical, villainous, cowardly bad guys, and they pull it off so well. It's just such a dream to watch them sometimes.
Is that the one where their finishers like called Pretty Milk or something?
Spilt Milk.
Oh, Spilt Milk.
And they have another move called the Crying Martini. It's great. You just need to watch them, like their hijinks in a match. It's just so funny how they like blatantly cheat. And it's the most comical cheating that you'd ever. It was like Eddie Guerrero when he used to throw the belt at people and then just like fall to the ground. Yeah. It's that kind of ludicrous cartoon comedy, but it works so well when they're fighting like these serious, like angry wrestlers, and they just do this ridiculous shit. And I tell you what, you watch any Pretty Deadly match on SmackDown, okay? What's his name? Wade Bryant. Okay, he's doing
Wade Barrett. Wade. Now repeat after me.
Wade Barrett.
There you go.
All right, Wade Barrett. So you listen to his commentating. It moves into the homoerotic meter, goes up a few kind of notches, because he loves these guys. And just the way he talks about them is just so much fun. Trust me, if you ain't checked out Pretty Deadly, do it. I've watched a good few of their matches on the NXT. And fantastic tag team. So you're going to see some fun stuff from these guys.
Who was the team that had your favorite finishing move, the Orgasmic Crescendo?
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Who? What team was it? I can't remember.
That was whatchamacallit?
I can picture them. I just can't. Why am I blanking on their name? Fire and Ice.
Yes.
Is that what they were called?
Idler Dawn.
Oh, that's right.
And Thingy Fire.
Dawn of Fire. I know who. Yeah, I'm blanking on that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. The Orgasmic Crescendo. Oh my God, it's so funny.
I had to bring that up again.
Oh God, I could start laughing. I think I lost a lung that night. I laughed.
You did.
Much.
You were laughing, and I think you threw up about three times.
Yeah.
Some of you were laughing too much, and then your supper came up, and then you had to make another supper and eat again because you threw it up. And
yeah. Oh my God, yeah. It was so funny. It's just too funny. Anyway, let's talk about Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. The 2023 edition.
There you go. It's called The Date, Jeremy. You need to learn it.
Yeah, Money in the Bank was July 1st, 2023, and it came from the O2 from London, England.
Yes, it did.
Yes. What can you tell us about the O2, the venue, before you get into it?
I think it's about 20,000 odd seats. It's an indoor arena. It originally wasn't built as the O2. It was built as the Millennium Dome, which was put up in the 2000s. To celebrate the millennium, obviously. Well, after that kind of ran its course, they had this gigantic dome structure, which was perfect to stick a stadium inside, basically. Yeah. So it was purchased, and O2 are actually a phone company in England. So it would be like the Sprint Stadium or what's not.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, it's a fairly big arena. That's where like main concerts are held in England, in London, basically. But it's a good arena. What you'll notice though is due to some local ordnance stuff in London, you can't actually set off fireworks in like an indoor arena.
Oh yeah.
So you'll notice that the only pyro that they had was literally pyro, flamethrowers shooting out blasts of flame.
Okay.
But you can't actually have sparklers and,
you can't do any of that stuff.
So you're going to notice this. Well, it kind of takes a bit away from Cody's intro, but
That's the rules.
It didn't matter, because I'm going to tell you this straight away. This was the most raucous crowd you have ever heard in your whole wrestling career.
Like, and it was a crowd of 18,885.
Yeah.
I'm reading the attendance right now.
The crowd was so into it. I mean, every match was a reaction from the crowd. Every spot in matches was a decent reaction from the crowd. I mean, it was... Let me talk about the matches, okay? So, yeah. Straight up, you're getting into the men's ladder match for Money in the Bank. So, we've got Damian Priest, Logan Paul, yeah. Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, and there's one more. Who was the last guy? Oh, has my brain gone dead?
Santos Escobar.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Fantasmo Di Lucho people. Those guys. Anyway, this is 100%. No one can deny this. And I've been saying it for like almost a year now. LA Knight is over with everyone.
But they didn't have him win, though.
No, they didn't. But I tell you what, the pop for him, every time he got into the bloody ring, because it's a ladder match, you're going to spend a good, you know, 3-4 minutes laying outside of the ring.
Why is he so popular over there? He's not an Englishman disguising himself as an American,
he's just popular like he is over here. It's just the English crowd are a very loud and obnoxious crowd. So
there's something about him they just like.
Yeah, he reminds me personally, it reminds me of an early Rock combined with the attitude of like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's fun to watch him on the mic, but the SmackDown before Money in the Bank, he actually came out to the ring, and just that same crowd basically got to do the whole LA Knight year bit with him, and it was just amazingly loud. When he gets into the ring, Logan Paul's like, "Oh yeah, your has been blah blah blah," and LA Knight's like, "I think you're listening, but you're not hearing. Let them tell you again who I am," and the whole arena just blows LA Knight out. Oh, it was crazy, and you could see like LA Knight's trying to not grin because, I mean, he's just over. It's crazy. Anyway, the first match, again, pretty standard affair with your ladder match. It was fun. There was fun parts to it. Ricochet throw the best. I think the best two parts of it were Logan Paul gets in the ring last, and all the other guys just turn to him. The bell rings, and they all just run over him. Beat the shit out of him. It was hilarious. And then later on, they run the same gag again. Logan Paul rolls back into the ring when everybody else is in the ring. They all just stop what they're doing, look at Logan Paul, run over and just beat him down again. Very cool. It was good ladder match. Nothing crazy. Ricochet sent Logan Paul through a table. That was fun. You know, Damian Priest comes out on top. So, and a good wise decision, I thought, though, because even though I'd love to see LA Knight win that, I think storyline purposes, it's better if Priest gets it, because Priest is going to go on a singles run. He just needs a way to either get out of the Judgment Day or break up the Judgment Day. And that's easy to do with Finn Balor trying to, you know, now hold a grudge because he came out and he was going to use the briefcase. We'll get to that a bit later. So for storyline purposes, works out pretty good. All in all, a fun match. I'm going to give it 7 crowns out of 10.
7 dirty crowns.
7 dirty shillings.
How much is a shilling anyway?
God, like a 2 penny, a penny and a half, maybe.
Seriously?
Yeah, that we don't. No one's used shillings in like 60 years, bro.
What's a crown? What's a half a crown?
Again, they haven't used that kind of money in like 50, 60 years.
Oh, I was just thinking because over Christmas I was watching Scrooge.
Yeah, you got it.
Like, I'll give you a half a crown, you know.
Anyway. All right. So let's get on with it. I'm not really going to go in order. I'll put the final ones where they're supposed to be, but I'm just going to run through it. Women's ladder in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, better than the guys,
really?
There was a lot more spots in it, and the ending was absolutely hilarious. There's part where Zoe Stark gets a pair of handcuffs and handcuffs Becky Lynch.
Handcuffs, yeah.
She's gonna handcuff her to the rope so that way she can't win the match,
and that's legal.
Totally legal. So she gets the part on Becky, but the other part doesn't get on the rope, basically. So now she uses it as a weapon, and she's like beating people with her fist with this handcuff in it. It was actually pretty fun. Anyway, there was a great spot later on where Bailey is almost to the top of the ladder, and along comes Becky Lynch, and she sticks the spiky end piece of the handcuffs in Bailey's mouth.
What?
And fish, yeah, seriously, and fish hooks her down the ladder. Like, it looked brutal. Like,
probably it was.
Yeah, it was. Good Lord. It was crazy though. So there's some interesting spots in the whole thing. In the end, Becky Lynch and Bailey start to go up the ladder again. Io Sky was jibbed earlier on because Bailey knocked her off the ladder on purpose so she couldn't get to the Money in the Bank. So as they're climbing up either side, Io Sky runs in and takes Becky Lynch's second handcuff and handcuffs it to Bailey. So their arms are now stuck in the middle of the ladder, handcuffed together.
Wow. So
Io Sky just climbs up Bailey.
And they can't do anything.
They can't do anything. Gets to the top.
Well, they can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. But it was such an imaginative ending to a Money in the Bank.
It was
a ladder match. It was very entertaining. Yeah. I was super happy with it. So
I have a guess on who you were rooting for, though. Zelina Vega.
You know what? I like Zelina.
You like her, though.
I do like her, but I knew she was walking into this just for the exposure. There was no way she was going to win it. I hoped that they weren't going to give it to Becky Lynch because I didn't want Becky Lynch to get it.
At least it wasn't predictable. They gave it to someone different.
They gave it to Io, yeah, which is, great because she's going to start a good singles push now. She's getting out of damage control. So, it's going to be a good push forward for her. Next match. If I can remember what it was.
I'll tell you which one I want to see that I have to go back and watch it. But
go on.
Gunther.
In fact, that's my
dude right there.
Let's talk about that now.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these, so let me know how this went. He faced Riddle, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know when a cat gets a mouse and they don't kill the mouse, they just keep on like playing with it. And then eventually the mouse dies. That's what Gunther did to Riddle.
Nice analogy.
Yeah, I can't explain it any other way. Riddle threw every lock hold, in, out, submission hold, everything he could at Gunther. And None of it worked. None of it worked whatsoever.
You know why? Because Riddle's a piece of garbage.
I'm not a
his chance has come and gone. He could have been like he did Shawn Michaels shit.
Yeah.
I don't mean, you know what I mean? Like, he was doing Shawn Michaels caliper stuff. And then I know there was other things and stuff in his personal life happened, but I've never been, can I appreciate his ability? Yes. But is he a performer? Yes. But there's just something about him where I'm just like, it's like when I looked at John Cena, I was like, you're just a piece of garbage. I don't like you. I don't know why. I don't like you. I'm not saying you're not a good athlete and you're not good at what you do. I just don't like you.
Well, he rubs a lot of wrestlers the wrong way.
For real. He gets real heat, what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he said a few months back that he should have been the one to, he should be the one to retire Brock Lesnar because he's the only person in the roster who has a chance.
What?
Yeah. Because he was a UFC fighter.
Riddle?
Yeah.
Since when? How do we know this?
It's a common fact.
I didn't know that. Actually, I did. I just wanted to see what you did. You know what, though? I mean, you look at Brock, you look at Riddle, and you go, there's no contest. But you've heard me say this before. It doesn't matter how big or small you are, or it doesn't matter how much bigger your opponent is if you know how to fight.
Yeah.
Like, for real, if you know how to fight, you could take on anybody, you know, but wouldn't that be a mismatch? Just vision. That's like me, not just visually, just thinking of it. That's like a mismatch.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah. He gets heat with everyone, man, in the back. He's always got something dumb to say. So
he should hang out with Barris.
There was some great, yeah, there was some great spots in it, but basically the backstory was that, you know, last week on SmackDown, I think it was a Raw, Imperium like kicked the crap out of Riddle's ankle, so he was all bound up,
all messed up.
Yeah, so there was three highlights of the match. Gunther's power bomb, because it just sounds devastating when he does it. A clothesline he gave Riddle, which I swear Riddle did like a 720 in the air. It was
that lariat. That's that lariat he gets, or whatever that clothesline is. Good. Yeah.
And then instead of just the smacks, okay, the chops, he unwraps Riddle's ankle and slaps his ankle. He
chops the ankle. I have to watch like this match
three times, and I swear Riddle is in real fucking pain. Like, just the noise he makes when he gets hit.
It wasn't a receipt crazy. For anything. You just think it legitimately. No, I'm not saying that stuff doesn't legitimately hurt, because we know it does, but that probably hurt.
So anyway, here's the big continents of that part was he wins. You know, Imperium music plays, then Drew McIntyre's music plays.
Okay. So I did not know this.
Drew McIntyre walks down, gets in the ring, and basically gives Gunther a claymore and lays him out.
That's a setup then.
Yeah.
What's the next pay-per-view then? Slam.
Slam.
So you think they're going to work them up to SummerSlam?
Yep, that's definitely happening. But here's the crazy thing. Is it looks like all this contract garbage that we heard over Twitter and on social media about Drew McIntyre was absolute garbage. It was actually an angle.
Oh, so it was fake news.
Yeah,
it was kayfabe news.
They kayfabed it that he was leaving and maybe going to AEW, but no, they just held him back.
You know why? So he showed up, he gets a bigger pop that he
stayed. Yeah, and did he get a pop in front of that English crowd?
He's what, Scottish?
He's Scottish, yeah.
He's Scottish, so he's within the Empire. I'm sorry. You guys don't say Empire anymore. Commonwealth.
Commonwealth, thank you.
Oh, by the way, by the time happy Rebellion Day.
Oh, thank you.
By the time this airs, that would have to pass. But happy Rebellion Day.
Happy and grateful Colonist Day. Yes.
Remember George Washington giving King George the RKO or the Stone Cold Stunner. I think we spoke about that last year. Yeah. But anyway, that just made me think of that. But that's actually pretty smart, because if they released or on purpose leaked that news, and all of a sudden it's, oh, where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? Purposely keeping him off TV and live shows for a while. And then you hear his music, he comes out, everyone's yes. Plus he was over there where he's home. He's in his home part of the world. So
but here's the thing. All right.
Uh-oh.
I was only 50% shocked by this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because WWE shot themselves in the foot about 3 weeks ago, because on a segment, I think on Raw or SmackDown, one of the two, they showed the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Okay. And they showed that WWE, you know, gives to the Special Olympics, and Drew McIntyre was there walking out with the United States Special Olympics team. So I'm like, if they would have not negotiated his contract, there's no way they would have sent him out to be an ambassador like that.
You know what they should have done, though? They could have had him. They could have billed him as former WWE superstar.
Yeah, they could have done something like that.
If they would have done that, then it would have been more. But that's where you got it. You gotta suspend reality, the kayfabe. Come on.
But it was a nice surprise. It was an amazing pop. It was really fun. So the next segment isn't a match.
It's not.
Okay. It's not a match.
Oh.
Hit music, John Cena. For those people listening on one of our platforms, JD is literally just rolling his eyes, looking at the ceiling, biting his tongue. Now, do you remember
John Cena? I got nothing to say about John Cena.
Do you remember John Cena sucks? John Cena sucks.
Yes. Yes. No. Oh.
We all thought that. I thought they were singing that as well. They weren't. That it did the da, 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 da. They all chanted, "You can't see me. Da, 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 da. You can't see me. John Cena came out and was shocked. Instantly shocked that they weren't singing John Cena sucks.
He's been like, gone long enough then.
So he goes all down, gets in the ring, and he was like, "Guys, you had me there. I thought you was going to say John Cena sucks, man, but wow, that's awesome." Anyway, John Cena gets into his segment. He's like, "Look, I'm out here not to wrestle. I'm out here to represent you, because I think you guys are some of the best fans, the best crowds that we ever have when we come over to England. So I want to try to get WrestleMania at London."
What was the last pay-per-view that was there? SummerSlam 92, right? Yeah. That was the one and only pay-per-view.
Yep. That was the only one that was there that was in London. In England, because Clash at the Castle was in Wales.
It was in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, it was in Wales.
I forget with your Wales and Scotland that's actually different countries, right?
Yes.
But Wales is a separate country.
Yes.
Technically, or it is?
It is.
And then Scotland?
Is its own separate country.
Of England, Ireland, and various other countries around the earth that are the United Kingdom.
Yes, and make up the whole Commonwealth.
The Empire.
Don't call it that anymore.
I couldn't find the buttons. It's been whoa, now I can't turn it off. Okay. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying though. He was very appreciative, and I you know what I think they did is, like I said, I still gotta go back and watch it. But from what you were saying, me is I think that was WWE's way of gauging, should we do it here?
Yeah.
Should we do a WrestleMania here?
If it's anything to go by the reaction of the audience, that was it. I mean, it should go there.
Where would they do it over there?
Do it in Wembley again.
That's right. New Wembley, and that's like 200,000 people there.
Yeah, so do it in Wembley, man.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? It would be nice to see a WrestleMania where the crowd's actually 100% into it the whole show.
Yeah, and I tell you, this crowd was on fire the whole show. It was awesome. So anyway, Grayson Waller, the guy doing that Grayson Waller effect show, the NXT call-up, he comes out and says, nah, let's do WrestleMania in Australia. He got lots of boos.
They're gauging things.
Yep. So then John Cena gave him an attitude adjustment.
FU?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I forgot they changed the name years and years and years ago.
Yeah, it's the attitude adjuster. Adjustment. But yeah, it was fun. The crowd were into it. They were hot for it. The next match. So, yeah, Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio, who's now called Dirty Dom.
Why?
Because that's what WWF want him to be called now.
Now, I did see some highlights of this one. Okay. Oh, my God, did Rhea look good?
Yes, she did.
My wife
even commented. She was like, wow, Rhea looks really pretty tonight.
Now, she's Australian, so she's within the Commonwealth.
She's from Queensland, okay. I believe.
So, and then I did see the part where the crowd, the entire audience, sang along. Sang along with his song, which I did see that was pretty cool.
Think about it. How many times do you get that? I mean, you get a lot of people who will chant along to an intro. Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
Okay, they're all easy chants. Whoa, whoa, easy earworms to remember. But you got nearly 20,000 people that know the words
singing
his entire song.
Yeah. Well, how long? See, I don't know anything bad by this, but it's a big deal when they go across the pond over there.
It is.
Because they do that, what, once or twice a year? They do their European.
If you're lucky. Yeah,
is it a European tour, right?
Yeah,
and
but
it's England and
England, France, Germany, Belgium. They go up and down that coast. But basically, it's a tour, which is you get a SmackDown or a Raw.
And a Raw, and then they have live events while they're over there.
Live, but not pay-per-view live.
No. I'm talking like non-TV house shows. Mm-hmm. They call them live events now.
Yeah.
Because I did see like Neidhart, her Instagram, you know, it shows her doing all the non-televised. So they do a number of those. So you're getting at least one Raw, one SmackDown. You're getting an NXT over there, right? No, because
NXT, remember, you used to have NXT UK.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, you still do. That's right. So
no, it's gone now. That's gone.
So I shouldn't say so WWE was still over there. They had a WWE product over there that traveled around, that was there all the time. They got rid of that, but it was still, even when NXT UK was over there, when the other guys came over, see, everyone's equal. When the other guys came over from the States, it was sort of a big deal because you didn't see those guys all the time.
Exactly. And it's a lot more pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. So they do that, what, once a year, twice a year, I think? I think it's twice, no?
I think they do one European tour a year now. That's it.
So they've been over there a few weeks then already?
No. The European tour was months ago. The European tour.
But they're in England right now. They're just doing England.
They just did this pay-per-view event as in England. They did one SmackDown.
One Raw.
One Raw. couple of live shows, but that's it.
Oh, see, I thought this was the whole European tour they were doing.
No. This actually finished, I think, about a month or so ago.
I can't keep track of where they are all the time. Come on. You know, but no, it's that's why when they come over there, every chance they come over there, those fans over there are like, ooh, it's going to be a whole 8 or 9 months before they come back.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to make the most of it while they're here.
But yeah, it was a crazy pop for Cody. It was a fun match, especially with Dominic, like doing the cheap shots and everything. But obviously, Cody just annihilated him.
Good.
It was pretty fun. The crowd absolutely loved it. When he won, they sang his entire song again. It was crazy good. But yeah, it's a fun little match. Dom actually gets to showcase himself a little bit, which is fun. But yeah, so let's move on.
His wife having you dress up as Cody Rhodes yet?
No, but I'm going to ask her to dress up as Cody Rhodes for me.
Good Lord.
Women's tag team match.
Yes.
Raquel Rodriguez and a newly back Liv Morgan take on Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
This is the one I really want to hear you talk about.
Okay.
I don't know why. This is one of two I really want to hear what you have to say.
So, it started off slow. Liv Morgan got slapped around a lot. Raquel got in the ring. The match started gaining more and more momentum.
Right.
There were some great spots in it. And then Liv Morgan basically gets cornered by Rousey and Baszler. Raquel's out the ring, knocked out, or some such.
Yeah.
So you're like, it's over now. They're gonna, because they annihilate. Do this finishing move where Rousey puts her arm bar in and Baszler does her ankle lock at the same time. It looks painful. Yes. So that you're like, that's it, man. Liv's gonna die. Okay. Just about as they're gonna get Liv, Shayna Baszler hits Rousey from behind, totally betrays her.
Yes. You know why? Because that's how much I don't care for Rousey right now.
Yeah, me too. And me and my wife both cheered.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yes. And then she just gets out the ring and walks off and leaves Raquel back in the ring with Liv now, and they beat the shit out of Rousey. Rousey takes pinfall.
Was there a pop when she did that?
Yes. Huge pop when Baszler hit Rousey.
Maybe WWE heard our show and said, we're tired of seeing Ronda Rousey and they need to reinvent her. So maybe with the Baszler turning face and double crossing Rousey, Rousey's going to go away for a little while and reinvent her character.
Yeah, it could be.
Hopefully. No, we're going to say WWE, listen to our show.
Yeah, please. Just take Rousey away for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, Rousey is like a Brock Lesnar. You awaken it once a year from its slumber and set it upon people and then put it back in its cage. Don't let it run around, you know.
Yeah.
Too much damage. But it was a fun match.
How did they pin? What was the pin? Was it just a regular pin, or was there some sort of interesting finish?
No, it was a I believe she got oblivioned, and then it was a roll up, and then that was it.
So
it wasn't anything major. It was a clean win.
So Rousey and Shayna dropped the belts.
That's it.
To Morgan and Rodriguez.
Yeah.
So Rousey's gonna go away a little while. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if Baszler does do a face turn. She could very well come out on Raw, right? Or SmackDown.
She's still
be a heel.
Yep.
She could easily do that.
Could easily storyline it to be, you know, I was sick of her trying to control me. I'm going to break people my own way.
So we're going to see what happens here. We'll know Monday. Or Monday, and then the following weeks, To see what really happens here. Now, this is an opportunity right here, it sounds like, that they could really do something.
Yeah.
If they take their time with it. You know, reinvent Ronda Rousey. Don't have her do the same three moves the whole match. You know.
So, final match of the night, the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. It's the Bloodline Civil War.
Yeah.
That's how they promoted the match. Okay. So it starts off. Roman gets a gigantic pop when they first hear his music play. Because everyone pops when you hear Roman's music.
Oh, yeah. Even though he's the super.
And then he walks out and gets the biggest booze ever.
They're happy to see him then.
Yeah.
And then they
Awesome. It was awesome. So they go down to the ring. Usos music plays. Crowd goes fucking berserk again. They're all singing it again. They're singing the Usos song. Now, I know it has lyrics, but I've never bothered listening to them. But yeah, it's day one-ish or something like that. But anyway, everyone's singing it. They get in the ring. It is a slow to start match.
Really?
It's quite slow. It's more storytelling than anything else. Like, Jimmy's in the ring, Roman wants a piece, and basically orders Solo to tag him. And Solo's face is just like, you what? You know, it was made more for storytelling. My God, though, it went into first, second, third, all the way up to Top Gear in like 10 minutes. By the end, the crowd was so hot. Every single kick out, fake pin, big move, the crowd were going wild for it.
They'd go berserk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out to an orgasmic crescendo at the end of the match. And yeah, Roman took a full-on 1-2-3 pin. He hasn't.
Now, I did hear something that was the first time someone not three count pin, but someone pinned him a good while
since 2019. I think they said December 5th.
Okay,
he hasn't been pinned since then.
2019. So during the COVID.
Yeah.
Hit the States. That's the last time
he was physically pinned. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. That ref counts 1-2-3. The crowd are counting with him. The pop. I swear the camera shook. It was crazy good. All in all, the crowd were literally the other proponents of this. Like we've always said before, you can tell a very different contrast between watching anything in the pandemic phase in front of TVs or in the early Thunderdome days where there was no TVs. It was just a empty studio.
You can
tell the contrast of how important a crowd's reaction is to things.
And a fake crowd reaction. Yeah.
And this just shows you a fantastic comparison of it, because this crowd was so hot. You were with them every single bit of the way. And of course, because they're English, you get some of the most amazing insults, slang at people, like Roman's a wanker. Roman's a wanker.
I was just going to ask you, what were some of the insults?
Yeah, it was great. Okay. Whenever Bayley came out, even when she's doing her damnedest to be the face bit, everyone's singing, "Hey, hey, Bayley, I want to know, will you be my girl?" She can't even help it. She's cracking up in the ring. Like it was so, and she even turns around and says, "No, I won't be your girl." It was great. It was some highlight points.
I mean, are they going to do? Yell at her?
But yeah,
come on.
The crowd really were the cherry on top here. It was a great pay-per-view, some interesting matches, some fantastic surprises, Drew McIntyre and the Shayna Baszler turn. Just things that were, you were like, this feels like a pay-per-view, even though, you know, a lot of the pomp and circumstance was cut down by being an indoor arena.
We couldn't do
a lot of fireworks. You couldn't have the Titantron up like we do, but it still felt like a pay-per-view, and the crowd were just in it 100%. I'm going to give the whole pay-per-view a 9.5 out of 10. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It was right. So
I
got
to watch this pay-per-view. Yeah. We have to do
a talk along with it. We really do.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Cause like it's a different matter. Just me.
It's a different atmosphere from what you're saying.
And I can't even explain it, how awesome the crowd were and how it felt good as a WWE fan to hear that reaction, that these people cared about what was going on in front of them. You know, it was nice. It felt like the glory days, the golden era of WWF, you know, when Hulk Hogan came out, that pop was incredible.
Yeah. You know,
it felt like that. The crowd are engaged all the time. Excellent pay-per-view. We have to do a watch along with it because it is one of the best pay-per-views I've watched since my return, really, to wrestling. So, yeah.
You know, I heard you mention the Thunderdome, and there's times I secretly miss the Thunderdome. I don't know why, because we got to pick out interesting characters.
Yeah, I do.
But I would say that last year, SummerSlam, you know, so with you saying one of the best pay-per-views, I remember you were real high on SummerSlam last year.
Yeah, and I
so
still...
you're saying this was better than that?
I'm saying it was better, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm saying a little gauge here.
Well, let's not say better. Let's say it was different, but a really good different. And you'll understand when you watch the pay-per-view. I can't stress this enough. Me just talking to you about it does not give it or do it any justice whatsoever. Yeah. Those crowd reactions are phenomenal to listen to, you know, and I love that John Cena came out and pretty much addressed that. And one of the lines he says is, you know, they at the back, the people who make decisions, they say you're too rowdy. They say you're too loud, that you take away from the match. And he's like, I don't believe that. I believe you guys are the reason we have such good matches when we're over here. Crowd pops, goes berserk pop, you know, and it was great to actually have that addressed, you know, because hijacking the match has been something that's been going on for years, but the English always, we take our cheering seriously. we're professionals at this. We're at football stadiums every week. So, you know, we take our stuff seriously, and to have that acknowledged was fun, even if it was by John Cena. But yeah.
Us English take our cheering seriously.
You got it, bro. You got it.
Well, there you have it. The King synopsis. On the 2023 edition of Money in the Bank, as he said, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Because he just gave you kind of the highlights or told you what happened. You actually got to go see what happened now, including myself. Too bad I missed it. But like I said, I was too busy binge watching Yellowstone, you know. Logan, the King, being our resident broadcast journalist as of today, had to go do his homework.
Oh, thanks. And, as of today.
It could change tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
You never know. Rabbi could come in with something and he, who am I kidding? You're the broadcaster.
Yeah. Who are you kidding here? Like, we're like, hey, Rabbi, we're going to watch WrestleMania. What did we watch? What was that god awful one? Oh, God, it still stings.
It does still sting.
We're going to watch this absolute garbage WrestleMania. Would you like to join us? Oh, no, I can't. But I'll watch it. I'll watch it when I'm at home. And that way, you know, I can talk about it with you on the show. Okay. 5 minutes later. Hey, Rabbi, yeah, are you ready to do the show? Did you watch WrestleMania? Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't have time. So, yeah. There you go. Thanks, Rabbi. You made me sit through this absolute garbage. Okay. And
yeah,
I can't take that time back. I was about to rip my eyes out of my sockets. That's a traumatic event. Okay. You should share this trauma with me.
I warned you. Or I gave you a heads up.
No, you didn't warn me enough.
Yes, I did, because we had a fan.
No,
bullshit. We had a fan ask us to do this, and I told you, I went, bro, this is a bad WrestleMania, and you went, well, I'm interested to see it. I was like, okay, but this is bad. That's what I said. I did give you a heads up. It was bad.
That's not enough. You should have come to my house in the night and spray painted a gigantic red X on my door. That's the level of love of commitment that you need to warn people about that mania. You know, remember, you can't just be like, by the way, it's bad. Well, you know, there are lots of bad manias and bad pay-per-views.
I knew for real you thought it was bad when you looked at me and went, oh my God, we still have one more match to go. And you were like, we still have, or no. It was beginning. And he's like, well, who's Bam Bam facing? I was like, a celebrity. And then the first match happens. The opening match happens. And at the end of that match, you look at me for no reason and go, oh God, please don't tell me it's an effing like football player or something. And I didn't say anything. And you went, bloody Jesus. And I went, yes. And so fast forward to the Diesel Shawn Michaels match, and you were like, that was passable. Oh my gosh, we still have one more match, don't we? I was like,
yep.
Yeah. And you were like, bloody Christ. and Vinny, the author, was like, yeah, it's bad, but it had the potential to be good with the card.
And I agree. Like, you read, and that's why I got suckered in, because you read the card and it's like dream match after dream match.
I didn't even want to watch it, but we had that fan that wanted us to talk about it.
Backlund versus Bret Hart? You gonna be fucking joking me.
And Backlund was still, he wasn't old. He was still.
No, he was still, and he was still going strong.
Yeah.
And Hitman was in his fucking prime.
Backlund versus Bret Hart turned into
a slow, boring. Why would you do that? Like,
yeah,
just ruined it. And I quit matches are garbage. You know, if you want to do an I quit match, you know what they need to have? Give the fucking guys microphones. Like, have them stick a big fucking helmet on with a microphone and a set of head things. So that way, every 2 minutes, you don't get somebody ramming a goddamn microphone, interrupting the match.
That was Roddy Piper, by the way.
Oh, God, that was so bad.
Yeah.
You quit. Did you quit here, man? Did you quit? Did you
quit? Backlund.
No.
Nah. That's all you kept hearing was, no. No. You know, the whole
time. Yeah, it's just, anyway. No. On paper, great. No, it was just so bad. So
bad. Before we get going here, speaking of reviews, we haven't reviewed a pay-per-view. Well, I mean, no. A past pay-per-view in a while. I shouldn't say we haven't reviewed a pay-per-view because you just talked about Money in the Bank 2023. We haven't done a past event in a good while. Maybe we should do one.
Let's do it.
Do you want to do a WCW one or a WWF one? I'm talking from like 25, 30 years ago. Now, 25 years ago would have been like the Monday Night War.
Yeah. Oh, like, dude, like today I was out at the gas station and I pull out my wallet to pay for something. And the girl looks at my wallet and I have a Zelda wallet, a Majora's Mask Zelda wallet. I've had it for years. Like, so my kids got me for a Christmas. So it's like, I love this thing. But anyway, I pull it out. And she's like, oh, that's a cool wallet. You like Zelda? And I was like, yeah, man. I've probably been a Zelda fan longer than you've been alive. Ha, ha, ha. And she turns around and says, well, I was born like the year after Twilight Princess came out. And I was like, hold on a fucking minute. I own the Twilight Princess on the goddamn Wii. That was like 2008, 2000. And then I realized this kid's like 16. And I was like, there was like 5 Zelda games came out before you were even fucking born.
I remember. I feel old. Yeah. But the thing is we're not old. I remember back in the 80s, you had Zelda Nintendo game. And then you had, not a lot of people remember this. You just had a Zelda game. Do you remember the original Nintendo Link game? Not Zelda, The Adventures of Link. It was just Link. There was one.
Yeah, no, that was Link's.
Link. Not Zelda, The Adventures of Link. It was just Link.
No, that was Zelda 1.
But they called it Link.
Yeah, it was called The Legend of Zelda, Link's Quest or something like that. Hold on.
No, there was one that was just called Link. Oh, are you going to the Google machine?
Fuck, I am, yeah.
And speaking of Google machines, this segment is brought to you by Dry Your Balls. Are you suffering from ball sweat all the time when you're working, when you're walking down the street, when you're sitting watching TV or sitting at your computer, looking up something about a Nintendo game? Well, Dry Your Balls could help. It'll keep you fresh. It'll keep you smelling good. It'll keep the wife happy. Just go to dryyourballs.com, type in the promo code King, and you'll get 25% off.
Yeah, the original Legend of Zelda was followed by Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link.
Nothing.
I was into it, man. I was doing my journalistic research. He's the resident journalist.
You're the resident. He's our audience. I want you to listen to this right now. He's our resident journalist, the resident king, and the resident Amazon novelist.
There you go. Resident motherfucker.
And he's just he's also that too. But okay, so wait a minute. What you say? There was the event. I swear I thought there was a game that was just called Link.
Legend of Zelda. That's the first one. And then Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
That's what I was thinking of. Because I would always remember there was a Zelda game and then there was a Link game. Yeah, so that must have been what I was thinking of.
There was Link to the Past. That was in the Super Nintendo. And then that is Ocarina and Majora's Mask. So Wind Waker, Force, Twilight Princess came
out. Don't say Twilight Princess again.
2006.
Oh my God.
Jesus
Christ. We were in our 20s.
Like, that is just crazy.
Yeah, we're old. We're older, not old.
Older.
Older.
Oh God!
But anyway, we hope you've enjoyed the King's little synopsis on Money in the Bank 2023. We're gonna decide what past pay per view we're gonna watch. Will it be WWF or will it be WCW? We don't even know yet. We're gonna have to pick one. We might be starting, I think me and you spoke about this, Logan, we might be starting a new little series to discuss here on this program. Brother Love. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Did we agree on that? We got to let our audience know that we might be doing a little discussion series about the Brother Love Show. So stay tuned for that. We'll see. We're still ironing out how we want to talk to you audience about that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Any email. If you'd like to send us some email, hate mail, praise mail, whatever kind of mail, ringthebellradio@gmail.com. You can find us on the Twitter, the Instagram. Mail. The what?
A sexy mail.
Send your sexy mail addressed to King Logan, ringthebellradio@gmail.com.
It's the most erotic thing I've ever heard.
Orgasmic crescendo. We are on the Twitter, the Instagram, and TikTok. You know, we put little, pretty much on TikTok, we put little previews of our shows on there. So, you know, you could follow us on there. Rabbi Barris, we'll see what's up with him next week. We're going to have see what he's doing, getting our fans all mad at him. Not mad, concerned. They're concerned about him. You know, I don't know what else to say about that, but they're concerned. All right, that's all I got. What do you got to say, King?
I just thought of this wicked little jingle we can use.
Uh-oh.
Okay. It would be awesome. Listen to this, okay? If you like Jenny Santana, then listen to the podcast. That's all I got so far.
Oh, good. Speaking of Jenny Santana, yeah, she should be on back next week. You know, she's been really busy over there in Vegas with her new businesses and the wrestling promotion. So, in our newer episodes, if you haven't heard her much, that's why. I mean, she makes it on when she can. Isn't that right, King?
Yeah, we love Jenny. Whenever we can have her on, we're grateful.
Yeah.
She needs to do her own wrestling thing at the moment.
Yeah, so she has the UWW over there and her health clinic, which she's working very hard on making those things successful. So Jenny should be back next week, like I just said. But anyway, Rabbi Barris hopefully is back here. You've heard King Logan waffle on for hours and hours and hours about Money in the Bank.
It's funny because my wife gave me money earlier on to put in our bank. And she was like, just drop me off at Goodwill and then you can go put it in. And I was like, okay. So I drove around and then I literally deposited the money. And then I sent her a GIF of Money in the Bank over Facebook Messenger. And she was like, I know, we watched it. I was like, no, just joke is lost. The joke was lost.
So what really happened, what Logan didn't tell you, is he put the money in the bank, and by the time he got back to where the store his wife was at, the money was out of the bank.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, okay. So for Rabbi Barris, for King Logan over there, you've been listening to Ring the Bell Radio Elite Wrestling Podcast. We'll see you next time.
If you like Jenny Santana, then call out her name. Boom, 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 boom. If you like Jenny Santana, then listen all the same. Because it's a Ring the Bell Radio playing on the planes. If you like Jenny Santana, then listen all the same.
Can you dig it, sucker?